The other thing to keep in mind is that if there ever was a complaint or an indication that there was a health issue with a horse,
that's a compromise.
We would have the ability to require another examination at that time.
That's
so if it's standard practice for a veterinarian not to issue a certification of a horse's health for 30 to 60 days, that's not inconsistent with our regulations. Is that correct?
We're just looking for the certification at the time of the permit, yeah.
Okay. So at the time of the application, the horse was fit for the type of work that we're permitting.
Okay.
Which is the same as kids playing athletics in school or going to camp, that the health inspection by the doctor has to be done within a year.
We considered trying to regulate and compel the horse to drink on command.
Well, good luck with that.
Didn't work. I was told it wouldn't work.
Oh,
we thought it would work, but the horse expert said it wouldn't.
As everybody knows, you can lead a horse to water.
But what? That's all?
Exactly.
Okay. Any other discussion from council? Thank you for everyone that testified. This moves to a second reading next week. Unless there's objections on council, I'd like to hear item number 33 next. Please read item number 33.
Change the name of Memorial Coliseum to Veterans Memorial Coliseum.
If I could have, as I make some introductory remarks, please have Tony Stacy of our Rose Quarter Stakeholder Advisory Committee. The great Harley Waddell, spokesperson for the Veterans Subcommittee of the Rose Quarter, and SFC, Philip Vince Jacques from the Oregon National Guard, please come forward. And as they're coming forward and taking a seat, I'd like to provide a little bit of introduction to this. Why today? On January 8th will be the 50th anniversary of the dedication of Memorial Coliseum. On that day, my predecessor, Mayor Terry Schrunk, dedicated the building with the following words. This Memorial Coliseum is dedicated to the advancement of cultural opportunities of the community and to the memory of our veterans of all wars who made the supreme sacrifice to preserve for us the inalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. To live in the hearts we leave behind is not to die. As we're working on the redevelopment of the Rose Quarter over the past 18 months, we are, as part of our discussions with the Veterans Subcommittee, the issue was raised that the original agreement with veterans for access to the facility, free access to the facility, had withered away with time. And there was the request to add the word veteran before the words Memorial Coliseum to make clear to everyone that it remains and will remain a memorial to veterans. So based on the 50th anniversary of its original dedication, we thought this was a fine time to do that. It was the unanimous recommendation of the Veterans Subcommittee, and I think we'll probably hear a little bit of history, but the short story is voters would not have approved raising their own taxes to pay for this building if it was not a memorial to veterans. So thank you all for being here. Mr. Stacy.
Good morning, Mayor, council members, and staff. My name is Tony Stacy. I'm a member of the SAC committee as one of the veterans and sports advocates. During the meetings of the Stakeholders Advisory Committee for the Rose Quarter development process, there have been conversations pertaining to the veterans. The results of these discussions bring us here today. Veterans throughout the city, state, and abroad have voiced their desires regarding the Memorial Coliseum. A veterans focus group has met, and I was asked to relay to this council one of their desires, which is the renaming rededication of the Memorial Coliseum to Veterans Memorial Coliseum. January 8th of this year will mark the 50th anniversary of the original dedication of this building by Portland Mayor Terry Schrunk to be used as an indoor sports recreation arena for the advancement of cultural opportunities and to honor as a memorial to Portland area women and men who sacrificed their lives in times of war in defense of this country. The Memorial Coliseum has been part of Oregonians and outside state visitors in countless ways through the sports teams who call this home and through other events hosted by this venue. The City of Portland has once again opened the doors to veterans, engaging them in active discussions for ideas of how we, the veterans, can help. This resolution marks the first step in the partnership between the veterans and the City of Portland. The common goal is to continue researching opportunities and sources of revenue necessary for the refitting of the building and the enhancement of the Memorial Gardens, consisting of honor walls and fountain. Today, veterans stand proud and ready to meet these challenges. I thank the mayor and the council for this time to speak for veterans and for the fallen heroes whose voices can now be heard. The Gold Star Mothers would be very proud. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Waddell.
Thank you, Mayor and council members. Yes, a little history perhaps, but the whole proposition of this being a memorial and then being ignored is a little difficult. There have been very few events there that have involved the veterans. There have been very few times the veterans have been allowed to use the building. Unfortunately, this is something that has been in the past. We're looking forward to the future when the veterans have some opportunities around there that they have not had to this point. We do thank you for taking the name change under consideration. We appreciate it very much because this is what it was supposed to be 50 years ago. And it's very, very desirable or very pleasing that this particular administration is tackling this and doing something about it. We wish to thank you and look forward to working with you on the use of the building in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Sir?
Mayor Sam Adams, commissioners, for the record, my name is Master Sergeant Jocks. I thought about this a lot. I got a message last night to come down here and speak. Why the rededication of the name would mean so much to us. And it really is, it's kind of a simple thing. It's just a name. Well, it's much more than that. I think about when I joined personally and this new, my generation that's in now, we're all volunteers. I joined because I wanted everybody in this country to have the same opportunities as us. We could walk down the street and we all had the same opportunity. It didn't matter who our parents were. It all that mattered is if you have an education and you work hard, you can have everything you want in this country. And that is not the case wherever you go. And a lot of the places I've gone, it is the exact opposite. So that kind of goes into why we join. And the people I've served with feel much the same way. Although when we go to combat, we all go for those reasons. A lot of times, once you're in it for a while, you're just protecting that person to your left and right, that team to your left and right, that squad to your left and right, and that platoon to your left and right. And you all want to come home, and you all want to have those opportunities for your family when you come home. I've been around individuals when they did not make it home. And one of the things that they always wanted was to be home, back here in Oregon or whatever their home was. And they wanted to be safe with their family. And they wanted their families to be safe. And they wanted their families to be happy. No matter what color, race, creed, or religion they're from, that's all they wanted. I went through the same situation myself, and I just wanted to be home with my family in a safe place like the Coliseum, where I could walk around and be in a beautiful, meaningful place that was dedicated to something like that. I think of the Gold Star families, the Gold Star mothers, and I would ask you to put yourself in their position, going down and looking at the wall. And how would you feel if you heard children laughing and playing and families being happy? And I've thought about that, and that would mean to me, and I hope that never happens with any of my kids, but it would mean my son or daughter lived on with those laughs and those people having fun. That's what I would want. If I was to go tomorrow, that's what I would want for you. And that's what their children wanted for us. As long as we remember, as long as that is remembered by them, they live on. As a person seeing the Veterans Memorial Coliseum, I look at it personally, as freedom is never free. We will always fight till the end of time. There are people that want to take that from us. It is very important to remember those individuals that have gone and done and paid the ultimate sacrifice for us. As long as we remember them, they never die. As long as we remember them in a place that significant, they will never die. I'm a senior listed advisor. I make recommendations to my commanders often. And I highly recommend that you guys, you individuals, make a proposal to make a renaming to the Veterans Memorial Coliseum. I highly recommend that. And I want to say thank you very much for your time. It was a true privilege to be here.
Thank you, and thank you all for your service. Very grateful.
Public testimony, we have 11 people signed up. The first three, please come on up, are Bill Marker, Corbin Willis Jr., and George Bickford Sr.
Good morning and welcome. We're very glad that you're here.
I'm Lieutenant Commander George H. Bickford, Sr. I went on active duty in February of 42 and retired from the Navy in 65 and flew for them for 22 years. However, flying is a big part of the city of Portland, and I remember Lindbergh dedicating Swan Island Airport in 1927, and there are several here that are the same age as I am, and the battleship Oregon, which was a grand museum here, and we feel that this being brought up and placed in front of us now so that we can finally develop it into a full veterans program will be a great asset to the city of Portland.
Thank you, Commander. Appreciate it.
My name is Bill Marker. I'm a member of the American Merchant Marine Veterans World War II. And I just want to touch on an item of history. The father of our country, George Washington, stated, and this is a paraphrase, I couldn't find the exact words, so bear with me on it. He said that the manner in which a nation treats its veterans has a great deal to do with the future of that nation. And I think that this recommendation to rename the Memorial Coliseum in Portland fits into that picture from the father of our country. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, sir, very much. Sir.
My name is Corbin Willis. I'm a retired major, Air Force. I was drafted a year before Pearl Harbor. I was a B-17 co-pilot flying over over Germany on my 22nd bombing mission, and I was shot down then, became prisoner of war. I was only in the prison camp 6 months, and General Patton overran our prison camp and liberated us before the war was over. I have 57 combat missions in Korea, and I'm now a member of the Korean War Veterans Association, which meets in Clackamas, and I have I didn't know that I was volunteering for some kind of a message. But I'm very thankful that you are honoring us with the Memorial Coliseum. I've been to it many times, and I'm glad that we will be recognized. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you all very much, and thank you for
many,
your service.
Many of us don't realize that more of us should be active. And in particular, people of your generation, because they were so badly mistreated when they came home from Vietnam, they don't join any of our associations, and we're having a big battle. Now, I'm commanding officer of the Association of Naval Aviation, which is also shepherding bringing the Ranger into Portland as a museum. And I'm not going to get into that at this point. But the point I'm trying to make is that there are many of our veterans associations here that's doing a great job, and they just need a center to work from. And this is the one thing that we've never had. And we need to make the Vietnam people proud of what they were accomplishing at the same time. And I'm in a little peculiar situation because I'm old enough that my kids were all Vietnam veterans. And my oldest boy was a torpedoman on a Polaris nuclear sub, so in 64, which was back when you were too big. And it's hard to realize that some of us have gone on. One other factor, so many of us are also, their minds are getting senior dementia and Alzheimer's. And making them proud of what they did in the last days is really important. And we're working terribly hard with both with the medical and the retiree associations to bring this together so that they're proud of what they did.
Thank you, Commander. Thank you all. Appreciate it very much.
The next three are Larry, I believe the last name is Robert, Ron Carr, and we'll go with Trudy Russer.
Good morning. Thanks for waiting. We're glad that you're here. Would you like to begin?
I can begin. My name is Ronald Carr, Lieutenant Commander, United States Coast Guard Reserve, retired. I spent 4.5 years in the Navy during Vietnam. That's where I served on a destroyer off the coast of Vietnam. So thank you for the words that I heard earlier. What you're doing is a wonderful thing, and I came here today just to express that, because it was 15 years after Vietnam, first time I was acknowledged that I had been there. And it was at my, my daughter's middle school class, or a band concert, when they did a military medley, had to stand up as our service was acknowledged, and I stood up and started crying. So what you've done in the simple thing of adding a word to the Memorial Coliseum is huge, and you're going to hear a lot of this from us. It's a very good thing. And we need to do this more. We need to have this in the minds of people as they live and think and talk and honor our men and women, our young, our kids who are coming home now. And one organization that does that extremely well is the Rose Festival, through their Memorial Day commemoration, which is wonderful, through the parades where the military is included and involved, and through the various events where they're represented there. So that's all I really wanted to say was thank you, because I have this opportunity to say thank you, and then leave you in closing with this final thought. It's the soldier, not the reporter, who gives you the freedom of speech. It's the soldier, not the poet, who gives you the freedom. I'm sorry. It's the soldier, not the reporter, who gives you the freedom of the press. It's the soldier, not the poet, who gives you the freedom of speech. It's the soldier who salutes the flag, serves the flag, whose coffin is draped with the flag, that allows the protester to burn the flag. So thank you very much.
And let me be hopefully not the first mayor to thank you for your service in Vietnam. And thank you for being here today.
Sir. My name is Lawrence Roberta, and I wanted to thank you, Honorable Mayor Adams and Honorable Commissioners, Council Members. I am a former sergeant of Charlie Company, one of the 162. I'm an Iraqi Freedom Veteran, probably one of the first ones you'll probably see here. And I'd like to thank the City of Portland for all of the support that your folks have given us as we have started to trickle home. I'm one of the soldiers that was affected by the sodium dichromate thing with KBR. And by your generous, my throat is really dry, I have to apologize, effort to rename Veterans Memorial Coliseum is to finish its intended target, you know, to really fulfill what it was meant to be. You know, just to call it the Memorial Coliseum, I don't believe was to fulfill what it was meant to be. You know, a lot of people don't really understand what the memorial part was about. So to actually call it Veterans Memorial Coliseum will definitely drive home what the purpose of it is. And I'm so grateful for that. I really don't know how to thank you.
You just did a great job.
Thank you.
Thank you for your service and your testimony today. Thanks. Trudy.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity to also say thank you to the city for the at least the attempt to change the name to Veterans Memorial Coliseum. My husband was the most decorated Marine pilot in history. He was shot down by enemy fire 5 times and still survived to do a lot of other good things, as a matter of fact. And he was very much involved in the memorial and that it stayed as it is and that it serves the city as well as veterans, and that it is important to recognize our veterans and especially those who gave their lives. General John Pershing said, "Time will not fade or diminish the glory of their deeds." And it should not. It sometimes looks that way. So I think it's not only recognizing the service that has been provided by so many in the past, but I think it will help the future of the city and the future of the country so that people will know that they will be recognized. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and thank you all. Appreciate it. The next three
are Mr. and Mrs. Eric Lowinters. And when we have somebody from Eric's Recovery Center. It was Mr. and Mrs. Eric Lowinters. Okay, the last two were Gil Fry and John L. Adams.
Mr. Fry, welcome back.
May I say thank you to the Honorable Mayor Sam Adams, Commissioners Dan Saltzman, Randy Leonard, and Nick Fish and Amanda Fritz. Because I've worked hard for the preservation of the Memorial Coliseum, and I want to add, I had prepared a 4-minute speech here, and I don't think I'm going to have time. And I have my brother here, and I want to introduce him. So I'm going to read one page, and unless you make an exception and want to hear the rest of it. Otherwise, I do want to introduce the veterans that I've invited today, because I think that's more important than what I have to say. Because I've worked hard for the preservation of the Memorial Coliseum, this event for me today is a time to be thankful and to celebrate what has already been accomplished. My name is Gil Fry, and I am a veteran of the U.S. Army, serving in Germany in 1955 and 6. Today, I represent many citizens, taxpayers, voters, servicemen, and women, veterans from Oregon who are still living.
My subject is the Veterans Memorial Coliseum and the Gold Star Mothers. Now I'd like to introduce my brother. Howard, would you stand, please? This is my brother, who's age 85, and he did about 7 deliveries of servicemen to the war zone in the South Pacific. Is that close to accurate?
8.
I didn't think I was right on. But you'd have to ask him about all that. George Hager served on a submarine, and I can't really explain too much about what he did, but I know that he delivered what? He brought a lot of veterans home after the war.
1,800.
Brought 1,800 men home from the war when it was over. I would like to also introduce Cal Van Pelt. Cal was in the Battle of the Bulge. And I think you were there on D-Day. And I'd like him to stand. And unless there's anyone over age 86, I think he's our senior citizen today. It's been my honor and my privilege to represent or to encourage the preservation of the Memorial Coliseum, and at times during the last 10 years, I have worked at that assignment on behalf of the Rose Festival, and I'd like Marilyn Clinton to stand and her associate, and it's my honor to have her here. I would also like to introduce DeLance Duncan. Coach Duncan is very involved for years and years and years on behalf of the Oregon State Athletic Association wrestling tournament. Mm-hmm. And if you wanted to double check, you check with him, because the Memorial Coliseum is the best place in Oregon to hold a wrestling tournament. And I understand Mr. Randy Leonard is a wrestling, champion or something.
Well, Dan, so
I know that Mr.
Actually
Duncan
reminds me he's much better at it than
Mr.
I.
Duncan.
Me too.
Please don't encourage this kind of behavior. Please don't. You don't know. You're just going to start opening the door to things that really, I think, have unintended consequences, sir.
School district.
The arena was originally named Memorial Coliseum, dedicated to veterans. Veterans means servicemen or woman who died while serving in a country and never returned home. So I'm sure my time is up. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And I want to thank you for when you say you've been, when you've noted that you've been an advocate for its preservation and better use, you undersell the fact that you've been a stalwart, long-time
thank you, sir,
advocate for Memorial Coliseum's preservation and improvement, and I want to thank you.
Thank you for your kind words.
All right, sir.
Yes. Good morning. My name is John Adams, and for the record, I served in the United States Marine Corps.
Can you get, thank you, a little closer to the mic.
Could have gone to NAM, never left U.S. soil. But it's my privilege to read a letter addressed to Mr. Gil Frey from our former
governor.
Governor, thank you. Victor Attia. Dear Gil, sorry I cannot be with you supporting the further definition of our Memorial Coliseum by adding the word veterans at the beginning. Unfortunately, too many do not comprehend that is what the Memorial Coliseum really means, and in our time, we just naturally took that for granted. I will be at the Capitol in Salem during your scheduled time, so I would appreciate it if you would see that my support goes on the record. Thanks for all you do. Sincerely, Vic Attia. That's all I have. Thank you very much.
Thank you, and send our regards back to the governor. Thank you. All right, is there any discussion from council? All right, then please call the vote.
Fritz? I was born and raised in England, and both of the world wars have been fought on European soil. And we have war memorials in every city and village. In fact, when I was back there for my mother's 80th birthday last February, that's what we did on Sunday morning, is we took a walk into the village and read the names on the war memorial. And there's a great understanding, because there's so much physical evidence of the wars in Europe, that the United States saved the world twice, at least. And in fact, my mother was evacuated from London during the Blitz and lived in Connecticut. She was in Connecticut in Bridgeport Hospital for a year with shell shock, cared for by the kindness of strangers. And so I thank you very much for all of your service. And I think it's entirely fitting and long overdue that we name the Veterans Memorial Coliseum. I believe it's incumbent upon us to make sure that it's a place not only with your name on it, but a place where you are welcomed and honored on a daily basis, and where you do have meeting room, and that people who go there will remember. Because if we don't remember, we will repeat the same mistakes. And I also value that the other service in other wars and was in Britain during the 60s and didn't experience the Vietnam War in the same way that people here did. I share the horror of the folks who served doing their duty to their country and then came back and were not welcome. So I thank you for that, and I'm very thankful to Mayor Adams, to Amy Ruiz, to the Rose Quarter Stakeholder Advisory Committee, Gil Fry. What an amazing advocate, somebody who comes into our office relatively frequently, and it's always a joyful thing when you come in and we want to find out what new information you have for us. In fact, we have the photographs of the Memorial Coliseum in various celebrations that have occurred there that you have given us are proudly displayed on my conference room wall and will remain there because we need to remember. So thank you very much for all of your service. The Gold Star Mothers, that was a fitting comment about what I as a mother would think if I visited the wall. And I do. I did, even before I was on the city council, visit that wall to read the names, because it's important that we do that and that we remember. And I share that we are glad that our children can laugh and play and maybe not remember until they get a little older and they go to the high school graduation at the Veterans Memorial Coliseum and truly understand what a gift they have been given by the generations that have served.
Fish?
Well, today we take an important step as a community to honor veterans who have served with honor. And I want to begin by thanking the mayor for taking the lead on this issue, both in terms of his willingness to reconsider a position on Memorial Coliseum and now incorporate within a broader vision the preservation of Memorial Coliseum, but more importantly, this name change. So we would not be having this discussion were it not for the mayor and his leadership. So thank you, Sam. I was struck by some of the comments of some of the particularly World War II veterans about how we have historically treated veterans in this country. As many of you know, my grandfather served in World War I, and when he returned, he was given a hero's welcome marching up Fifth Avenue. He was so humbled by his experience in France, that he carried the legislation that created what we now call the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. That was his way and his generation's way of honoring the people who served and paid the ultimate sacrifice. My father served in World War II in a not very fancy job in the Navy, but was concluded his service with honor and was able to build upon what my grandfather did in honoring veterans of the Vietnam era. And I have to say that I think it's terribly important that we have memorials to honor people who serve. But it's also equally important that we go beyond simply memorials to provide the service and benefits that people have earned that allow them to reintegrate to society and take their place once they have served us abroad. And so I want to just call out the strong support that this mayor and this council have given to another project, which I think is also important as we move forward, and that is the creation of the first dedicated housing for veterans, which will be breaking ground shortly on in South Waterfront. And we'll be reaching out to a number of you to help us come up with an appropriate name for this first-of-its-kind building. But this is another example of this council making a substantial commitment both to honoring veterans, but going one step further to providing the services people need to come back home and to reintegrate into society. the fastest growing group of homeless people in our community are made up of veterans. And I think we all share the belief that it is disgraceful that people who were willing to risk their lives abroad are coming home and literally dying on our streets. Well, we have it within our reach to cure those problems. They require attention and focus and public investment. And I'm proud to serve on a council that believes this is a priority and has put the funding behind programs like veterans housing. So thank you all, and I would like to close by just saying that there's one person who's not here today who I know would have been testifying and would have been passionately supportive of this cause, and that is General Fred Rosenbaum. And we lost Fred within the past year, but he was the tireless advocate that was always knocking on my door and saying we're not doing enough for veterans. He was the champion of Camp Rosenbaum, which took underprivileged children to Camp Rylea, and that the National Guard and other uniformed services staff. And we miss Fred's energy and vitality and advocacy. So thank you all, ladies and gentlemen, for your testimony. And most importantly, Mayor Adams, thank you for your leadership on this question. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, first I want to note that in the resolution it points out that the voters approved an $8 million bond issue in 1954 to build Memorial Coliseum. Amazing how prices have changed in 50 years, but it was a good bargain, and I'm glad the voters approved it. And having grown up here, I certainly always thought of Memorial Coliseum as a memorial to veterans. But we have people here who, we have new generations here, and it's time to explicitly restate that the Memorial Coliseum is, in fact, a memorial to veterans. And I'm pleased to support this. I want to tell you that I am impressed by the records of valor and service of the people sitting in this room, of the spouses of people who have served our country. It's very impressive, and you have my continued indebtedness to the service that you did for our country. My father did serve in World War II on a Coast Guard destroyer up in the Aleutian Islands. My mother worked hard during the war, doing what was needed shoreside. So it's really a great opportunity for me to do this because it was my father who usually took me and showed me the memorial wall when we were going to Blazer games at the Coliseum. So we will cherish that wall. We will make sure that we do whatever we can to make sure it's always recognized and always remembered by everybody, the service and sacrifice of those names on the wall, the service and sacrifice of the people here today. I'm very pleased to vote aye.
Leonard.
This is one of those votes that I have struggled with, quite frankly, for some time. I originally thought I would just vote no and not make a comment. But because of the eloquent testimony that was given, I think I at least owe you to explain my reasoning. Like we've heard here today, and as many of you have testified to, my dad served in World War II, but was sank twice during the war, 10 years before I was a glimmer in his eye. So I have many reasons to be thankful for the service of veterans, not just my dad, but the people that made sure he was around to come home and see my mom, because without that, I wouldn't be here. So as this debate has occurred over the years, it is not something Tarvey and I have talked about or others as we've met discussed it, but I think of a memorial in terms of what would honor my dad, who is buried now with my mom at Willamette National Cemetery. And frankly, the Memorial Coliseum, as I see it through my eyes, isn't the highest and most fitting memorial to those who have given their all to this country. Much has been talked about the condition of the building, and I won't rehash that here other than to say we have yet to identify how we're going to come up with the $50 million just to have it look like it did when it opened back in 1959. I don't know where those resources are going to come from. I went there Halloween to take my grandson to the Halloween house that's there, and you circle down past the memorial. Directly in front of the memorial were two sets of huge speakers blasting music that not only I felt were inappropriate, my wife felt was inappropriate, and my son, who is a veteran of the Coast Guard, was with us, felt was inappropriate as well. I can't divorce those images from my mind, notwithstanding the heartfelt testimony I've heard here today. What I've talked to Harvey and others about over the years is erecting a true memorial that isn't dependent upon the economic viability of a particular building. That is something built within the Rose Quarter that is a truly a memorial that would be there for all to see and recognize, something that doesn't happen today. People often don't know that a memorial exists on the site because of the location of it below the subterranean level. And that is what I would truly like to see happen. That is what I would feel very good about voting for. I have gotten myself to the place where I can't vote no, only because people read that and then would misunderstand why I voted no. But I do want you to know that I've been pretty hard on those that manage the Coliseum, those that talk about professing the economic viability of the Coliseum, and that's the reason why. Because if you're going to use it, it needs to be developed in a way that truly honors veterans, in a way that it does not now, in my opinion, and in a way that is sustainable beyond just a generation or two, but something that is truly a memorial that always exists. I'm not convinced that creating bars and restaurants in the Memorial Coliseum to make it economically viable is consistent with honoring veterans such as you all that are here, and especially my dad. I am going to support this today, but those that are working on the redevelopment of the Rose Quarter need to know that I do so with my eye towards making sure that this building, if we are going to keep it, is redeveloped appropriately and used appropriately, and that it be there for the purposes for which the voters in the early 50s intended it to be. Aye.
Adams.
Well, I want to thank everyone who took time out of their day to testify. I really appreciate it very much. And I want to, whether you testified or not, I want to thank you for your service. And this city council, as you heard one illustration from Commissioner Fish, is seeking to put resources behind those good intentions. And even the welcome homes where I try to attend, or members of council try to attend each and every one. We know that's important. You've told us. This request was proposed, I thought it was very important for the reasons that you spoke to. And, for me, this is an opportunity to name and therefore honor my grandfather, who is an Irish immigrant and who served in World War II in the Philippines. His name was Francis Gibbons. He survived, but a lot of his friends did not. So it's important to do this, I think, right now as well as we continue our work on the better future for the Rose Quarter, which is very difficult. We have good momentum. As difficult as it is, we have good momentum. I want to thank David Logsdon, who's been overseeing the contract. He's done a great job through this process. Both he and all of us have come to learn the original promises made to veterans that over the years sort of withered away. And so the access to the facility for free as we redevelop the district and this particular facility, other ideas, you put great ideas on the table so that there's heart and soul in the memorial and useful resources for veterans in the memorial. We're going to do that. Also want to acknowledge the Blazers who have been a good partner in managing Memorial Coliseums to our specifications. The withering away of access for veterans, the responsibility rests on our shoulders in the city because we wrote the contract and they, a contract that they were required to follow. So that's why, as part of this resolution, we can change those specifications, and Jay Isaac is here, and they've enthusiastically agreed to work with us on that to do so. I also want to thank Jane Ames, who no longer works for me, but when she did, with others in the room, put together a great, about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, put together, and it's continued a great meeting of all veterans advocates and all veterans resources, and really has made it much easier. We have a long ways to go, but made it much easier for veterans that have earned the kinds of services that they deserve to make it easier for them to get those services, and has done a lot of outreach for my Office for Veterans, so thank you. And then finally, Amy Ruiz, who continues to shepherd out of my office the Rose Quarter redevelopment and help make this happen. Thank you. I'm very pleased to vote aye. Thank you, and you're welcome. We are not offended if you want to leave while we continue on with the democratic process here. Can you please read the title for item number 32, emergency ordinance? Mm-hmm. 32.
Authorize the commissioners in charge of Bureau of Environmental Services or designee and Portland Parks and Recreation or designee to jointly execute agreements for the design and construction of watershed restoration projects in partnership with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Since the City Council adopted the Portland Watershed Management Plan in 2006, the Bureau of Environmental Services and Portland Parks and Recreation have worked together on several restoration programs on both environmental services and on parks property. In 2008, the city's Greater Green Initiative accelerated watershed plan implementation by committing $50 million over 5 years to restore habitat, protect natural areas, and improve water quality. The Greater Green investment has allowed the city to leverage funding and secure other restoration project financing that was previously unavailable. Parks also has received funding from Metro to move the playground in Westmoreland Park out of the floodplain and to allow for stream and wetland restoration. The restoration of the duck pond in Westmoreland Park was approved in the park's 2004 master plan. But the city needs federal funding to complete the restoration on Crystal Springs Creek, to construct a restoration project at Oaks Bottom Wildlife Refuge that is currently beginning design, and to design and construct the 40-acre Springwater Wetlands restoration project in the Johnson Creek watershed. This ordinance will enable the city to take advantage of the Federal Water Resources Development Act to help finance these projects. We have Caitlin Lovell from Environmental Services and Emily Roth from Parks here to answer any questions. Commissioner Fish, did you have any remarks you wish to add?
I have some concluding remarks about the wonderful level of cooperation and partnership that exists between BES and the Parks Bureau, and this being another example. But I'd like to defer to our honored guests, and then I'll have something to say as we get ready to vote.
Hi. So yeah. I think they're just here for questions if anybody has.
Anybody have any questions? No, do you have anything you'd like to offer?
We do have a brief statement. I can skip it.
No, don't. Go ahead.
I just want to thank you, commissioners, for the opportunity to construct these three great projects. These projects are excellent examples of the great partnership between Parks and BES. In working together, we've combined resources within the city to design projects that will leverage local dollars more than 2-to-1 against federal dollars. These three projects could bring in nearly $10 million of federal funding for construction. Based on a University of Oregon study, great institution, that translates into over 217 green jobs created here in Portland in the next 3 years. This is possible only because of the strong working relationship between Parks and BES and the commitment of those two bureaus to continue designing these projects, even when the federal construction dollars seemed unlikely. As a result, these projects were ready to go when the Corps of Engineers returned the dollars to WERDA, and we are very grateful for the opportunity to partner with the Corps for the benefit of fish, wildlife, and the people and economy of Portland. We will return to Council prior to the construction of each of these projects for your approval on the contractor selection process and to request the necessary maintenance funding. We will be happy to answer any questions that you might have about the ordinances or these projects.
Questions? I'm trying to slow us down so the mayor can come back and vote. Did you have comments you wanted to give, Commissioner Fish?
Here's the mayor.
There he is right there. We're ready to vote.
Okay. Would you please call the...
We had one person who signed up for testimony.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, he's been in charge for just 2 minutes, and he's already cutting off public involvement.
Eric Lloyd Winters.
Mr. Winters?
Not here.
Okay. Please proceed with calling the vote.
Fritz?
Thank you, Commissioners Saltzman and Fish, and the local Army Corps of Engineers for your leadership on this funding effort, and Directors Dean Marriott and Zary Santner. Also, Caitlin Lovell and Emily Roth, both for answering my questions ahead of time and for your work on these very important restoration projects. We need to state over and over that the citizens of Portland benefit on so many levels when we work together and maintain focus on our shared goals of restoring and protecting our natural resources. And I want to restate what was just said in a slightly different way. Every $1 million of public dollars in restoration projects supports 16.7 jobs in Oregon. And because of these jobs, the economic impact is multiplied 1.7 to 2.6 times in economic activity as it cycles through the state's economy. And this was from the Great University of Oregon study early in April of 2010. I also need to note that our commitment to these projects mustn't end with this funding project, that once ecological function is restored to these and other project areas, it's imperative that we continue to find the operation and maintenance funding to protect our investment. Aye.
Fish.
Yesterday, I had the honor of attending the swearing-in of the new Metro president, Tom Hughes. And I'm in the process of writing him a letter congratulating him, obviously, on his swearing-in, but also for the priorities that he established in his speech. And in addition to jobs, which is the central issue that he ran on, he identified as two of the priorities of his administration, natural areas and stewardship of our natural areas, and the intertwine, which is the idea of a regional connected set of parks, trails, and natural areas. And I was really delighted to hear the new Metro president put our stewardship of natural areas at the top of his list. Because as we know, we have over 30,000 acres of natural areas in our region, 5,000 of which is in Forest Park alone. And the historic challenge has been, we're very good at acquiring sensitive natural areas and limiting development on them. We're not so good at maintaining them, and that's simply a resource question. We just have never had a dedicated source of money to do it, and perhaps that will change someday. Today, though, is a day to acknowledge the high-functioning collaboration and relationship between the Bureau of Environmental Services and the Parks Bureau. I want to thank Dean Marriott and Zary Santner, the two directors. I want to thank Caitlin and Emily, who just do such a marvelous job, Emily Roth being the natural resource planner at the Parks Bureau. I want to acknowledge the neighborhoods and the businesses that have helped us to leverage funding from other grants to support watershed restoration projects. And I also want to thank our partners at the federal and state level who really make this this whole enterprise sing. And finally, to PSU, the Metro, and the specific watershed councils who continue to engage and advise on these projects. Today, this partnership between BES, Parks, and the Corps of Engineers allows us to move forward with important habitat improvements at Westmoreland Park and Oaks Bottom Wildlife Refuge and to continue our important work together. Thank you both for your great work, and I'm very pleased as the Parks Commissioner to vote aye.
Holtzman.
Well, great work. Look forward to working with the Corps to make these projects a reality. So thank you. Aye.
Leonard.
Thank you. Aye.
Adams.
Great work, everyone. Aye. So,
perfect. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance, item number 34?
Ratify agreement with Federal Transit Administration for transportation investments generating economic recovery funding of the Southwest Moody Avenue Reconstruction and Track Relocation Project.
Happy New Year, Mr. Jones.
Happy New Year.
How are you?
Very good, thank you. I can answer questions, or I can give you a little introduction.
Give a tiny overview.
Okay. Late December, we were notified by the Federal Transit Administration that there was a need to immediately sign our intergovernmental agreement with them to secure the Tiger funds. At the same time, the Republican leadership in the House of Representatives had announced a intent to de-obligate all unobligated Tiger and stimulus funds. Unfortunately, council was not in session during that period of time, and we needed to immediately get the IGA signed. So with working with Jim Van Dyke in the city attorney's office, we were able to prepare the information for an emergency declaration and have the mayor sign the agreement. And under the city's emergency procedures, the process is to bring it back at the next available council session for ratification. So before you is the ratification for the Tiger grant for Southwest Moody Avenue.
Discussion from council? Carla, does anyone wish to testify?
I did not have a sign-up sheet.
Could I just have you clarify, what is this money going to be used for?
This money is to pay for the current work that's underway on Southwest Moody to place streetcar, to rebuild Moody from Gibbs near the tram to Southwest Sheridan along the frontage of the OHSU Snitcher development and the Zidell properties. And it will complete the intent of having streetcar in Moody and provide pedestrian and bicycle facilities as well.
Thank you.
It also, if I could add for the wider audience, it also meets the requirements to raise the basic elevation up 14 feet.
17 at the highest point at Porter to assist the light rail connection.
And that in turn is required to meet our obligations for the new state investment of the
OUS building.
Yeah, the OUS building, which will be moving the School of Pharmacy from Oregon State University to the city. And I believe that's, I forget how many hundreds of millions of dollars that building is, but comes at a great time. It's a project of citywide benefit. Please call the vote.
Fritz. Well, thank you for your work on this. I was really sick during the Christmas vacation, but for the record, I would crawl or have my son carry me here in order to be able to approve $23 million, over $23 million in federal funds, which totally is so helpful, not only in constructing the streetcar and the light rail project, but also in employing Oregonians at this time of continued economic hardship. So thank you to the mayor for continuing to work on this and city attorney and for you to make sure that we were able to secure the money that had been promised previously. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. 34 is approved. Can you please read the title and call the vote on second reading, item number 36.
Vacate a portion of Southwest Whitaker Street west of Southwest Moody Avenue, subject to certain conditions and reservations. Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 36 is approved. Can you please read the title for non-emergency ordinance, item number 37?
Authorize water revenue bonds to finance and refinance water system capital improvements.
Commissioner Leonard. Mr. Schaff. Mr. Johansson.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Commissioners, Eric Johansson, City Treasurer. This ordinance authorizes the issuance of up to $100 million of water revenue bonds to fund a portion of the Water Bureau's capital program over the next 12 to 15 months. In addition, the ordinance authorizes the refinancing of any outstanding debt that can be refinanced for debt service savings purposes. The bonds are expected to be payable from water system revenues and will be repaid over a period of 25 years. We expect to sell the bonds through competitive bidding probably in early March. And with that, I can't take any questions.
Questions? Comments? Does anyone wish to testify on non-emergency ordinance item number 37?